John chapter 14 be our main text today, but leave your Bible open. Going to look at several passages. I wouldn't call this a topical message, but it's pretty close. So we're going to be dealing with our little book that most of you got last week. I got another batch order. We ran out last week, but got another batch order. Heaven will surely be worth it all. John chapter 14 will be our main text. Heard about a family one time made their first visit to a Baptist church. They were looking for a church home, so they visited this particular church. But when the service was over and they were in their car, no sooner than they had barely left the parking lot, the dad said, that preacher couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. To that, the wife and mother said, and that choir was terrible. They couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. The teenage girl said, yeah, and I hated the youth group. They were terrible. They were unfriendly. So the dad wound up the conversation and said, I doubt we'll be going back. But a few minutes later, the little boy in the back seat kind of leaned forward and said, well, guys, it really wasn't that bad a show for 39 cents, was it? Amen. That's what they saw their dad put in the offering plate. 39 cents. So I hope you give more today than 39 cents. John chapter 14, here momentarily. Heaven will surely be worth it all. I call this message today kind of an overview, kind of the introduction. About eight messages, I believe, will get us to about the end of August. Sunday morning as well as Wednesday evenings. Where is heaven? How big is heaven? What will be in heaven? Who will be in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? What will we do in heaven? How does one go to heaven? Are there really pearly gates and streets of gold? Have you ever asked yourself questions like that, thought about questions like that, and then wondered about the answers? I imagine all of us have, and I would like to think that as we all are getting older, heaven becomes more and more on our mind. Where do we find the answers to those kind of questions that we're going to be unfolding in this study? Well, you find them right here in your Bibles. That's where the answers lie, and that's what we're going to try to uncover and unfold and help make a reality to all of our thinking about these questions. Heaven, what an awesome subject, what an awesome thought. It's going to be an eternal place, a place of hope, a place of blessing, a place of encouragement, a place of security. Heaven will surely be worth it all. First and foremost, if you're a note taker or just follow along in the book, I'm not going to just be so simple as to insult you intelligence on reading the book. We're just going to kind of walk you through it, but we're going to be adding some things and hopefully putting a little meat, more meat on the skeleton. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 15, is an example that, first of all, heaven is where God is. Heaven is God's place of dwelling. Heaven is where God is found. The prophet Isaiah is kind of a prayer in chapter 63, verse 15. Isaiah 63, 15. Listen to these words. He says, look down from heaven. And he's addressing God. It's kind of a prayer. Look down from heaven. And God is understood. And behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, heaven is where God is. That surely makes heaven worth it all. where God dwells, where the throne of God is, where God sits upon his heavenly eternal throne. So first of all, heaven will surely be worth it all because that's where we're going to find God. I don't know about you, but won't it be one day amazing to be in the presence of God Almighty? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, he's in heaven. But I want you to go now to John 14. Heaven not only is the place of God's eternal presence, but perhaps the best place to start, the best scripture to examine, the best passage of scripture to look closely to and listen to the words of the one who spoke these words, namely Christ, the Lord Jesus, is John chapter 14. So often read in funerals. But why save this passage for such an environment, for such a service? Why not pay attention to it more frequently in a service like today? So notice John chapter 14, where Jesus said, notice in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be discouraged. And certainly we live today in discouraging times. We're living, I believe, in the last of the last days. And we've been in the last days for a long time. That's another message. But I believe we're really drawing near to the last of the last days. Discouraging times, troubling times. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be discouraged. Notice why ye believe in God, believe also in me. God is Father and Jesus the Son. Believe in both, I believe is what Jesus is saying. But now notice verse 2. In my Father's house, and I believe that's heaven. Notice, are many mansions. Now we've heard all kind of things, songs and little things about a little shack by the railroad track in heaven. Listen, today, and the word mansion here just means or can translate rooms, but I'm looking forward to a mansion. And I'm not going to argue about the size or whatever the Lord has prepared. It's going to be magnificent. In my Father's house are many mansions. Look what Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And here in a few minutes, we'll see where Jesus did go. I go to prepare a place. Underline that in your Bible, a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. I will come again. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is coming back again. And receive unto myself that where I am, where is Jesus right now? Where I am, there ye may be also. Just four things I want to draw from this passage we just read. You may want to jot them down. Heaven is a place. It's a real place. We live at 179 Pinnacle Drive, High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27265. If you don't believe we live there, just ride by there this afternoon or any day and you'll see a dwelling place. You'll see a rather beautiful home that our Son has provided for us. It sits there. 179 Pinnacle Drive. You can't dispute it. You can't deny it. You can't doubt it. It's a real place, visible livable, sitting there at that location. Today you're sitting in this building, 201 Curtin Street, Park Place Baptist Church. It's not a figment of your imagination. You're sitting on a pew in a carpeted, air-conditioned, stained glass window building, 201 Curtin Street, Park Place Baptist Church. It's a place. It's a real place. If you don't believe it, just look around. Heaven is a place, a real place. But number two, notice it's a promised place. There are a lot of promises in these two verses that Jesus made. And notice the statement. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I'm not telling you something not true. I'm telling you things that are promised. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's a promise. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a promise. He said, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. That's a promise. Heaven is a promised place. Number three, it's a prepared place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, when he making reference to going back home to heaven. One preacher said, God created everything in 6 days. Just imagine Jesus being gone for 2,000 years. He's really got something in store for us. Heaven's a prepared place. Jesus has been busy preparing that place. But number four, I imagine the most important thing, heaven is not only a real place, a promised place, a prepared place, but it's a personal place. People go there. Are you going to be there? Heaven is a personal place. People go to heaven, and people will spend eternity in heaven. Heaven surely will be worth it all. There's another reason for that. Not only is where God is, not only is that great passage in John 14, a real place, a promised place, a prepared place, a personal place, but jot this down. Heaven is where our treasures are stored, where our treasures are laid up. In Matthew chapter 6, if you can find that, I told you we're going to look at several passages, because this is somewhat a topical message. I usually try to preach expository from one text, but can't help today but go a little bit topical. Matthew chapter 6, and notice what Jesus said in verse number 20. Matthew 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Your treasures, listen, you're not going to take them with you when you die, but you're going to be sending them up while you're living. Did Peter hear what Jesus had to say? I believe so. Flip over toward the end of your Bible. Peter writes two little epistles toward the end of your Bible. Just move to the right. 1 Peter chapter 1. Treasures laid up in heaven. What did Peter say about this? 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 3 and 4. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively or living hope. That's talking about our salvation. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at verse 4. What we have to look forward to. To an inheritance. You only receive an inheritance from someone when that person dies. Jesus certainly did die, but he did rise from the grave. from the dead, from the grave. He's alive forevermore. So one day we have an inheritance. Notice, to an inheritance, incorruptible. That means nothing will deteriorate it. Nothing will ruin it. It's incorruptible. And undefiled, nothing is going to defile it. And that fadeth not away. It's not going anywhere. But look how verse 4 ends. Reserved in heaven for you. It's there. Your name's on it. Your treasure will be awaiting you. Your inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that will not fade away, is reserved in heaven for us as believers. That's what you have to look forward to. Do you realize Jesus is heir with God, his Father? We're joint heirs with Christ. That means everything God owns, Jesus owns. Everything Jesus owns, we have ownership. Don't sit there and think you don't have anything. You've got an inheritance that is incalculable, immeasurable in value, and it's reserved in heaven for you. You see, heaven is where Jesus is. Acts chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, the first chapter of that great book of Acts. Jesus winding up his earthly ministry. Acts chapter 1 gives his last words in verse number 8. We call the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he speaks these last words, also found in Matthew 28. But then you come down to verse 9. I believe one of the greatest scenes in all of the Bible. One of those scenes I would have really enjoyed have been there to have witnessed what Dr. Luke records. After his last words are spoken in verse 8, look at verse 9 in Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, while they not only heard Jesus, but they were looking at him, beholding him, while they beheld, notice, he was taken up. If you want to know where heaven is, don't look to your right, don't look to your left, certainly don't look down, but just look up. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This is what we call his ascension. Jesus, standing there on the Mount of Olives, speaks his last words, perhaps with his nail-scarred hands open, and then he just begins to lift off. He didn't need any rocket to propel him, any kind of aviation craft to lift him off. He just began to rise, to ascend. Look at verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, notice that phrase, while they looked steadfastly, where? Toward heaven. While he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? There it is again, into heaven. This same Jesus, no substitute, no one to do it for him, this same Jesus, the one who died on the cross, rose from the dead, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, there it is again, underline your Bible, where? Into heaven. Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Can you believe it? There it is again, into heaven. How many times in those three verses do you hear it mentioned? He went into heaven, went up into heaven. That tells me where Jesus is. The Bible said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Where? In heaven. waiting for the Father one day and perhaps very, very soon to say, "Son, go get your bride. It's time to step on the nearest cloud and come down in the upper atmosphere and rapture your church out of this world." Because, you know, here's the significance of all of this. Heaven will surely be heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Not only because God is there, not only because Jesus is there, not only because our treasures, our inheritance are there, but lastly this morning, you realize our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, "For our conversation," and that word conversation means our citizenship. Do you realize today the believer in Christ, the saved believer, is the only person in the world that has dual citizenship? I'm a citizen of the United States of America and very much proud of it. If you are too, you ought to say amen right there. But if you're saved today, your citizenship is ultimately not here. We're just pilgrims passing through. This world, as we know it, is not going to be our home forever. It's only temporary. Whether we leave it by death or by rapture departure, this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. For our conversation, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back from heaven to take us to heaven. But right now, as you said, if you're saved, your citizenship is already in heaven. So heaven will surely be worth it all. In our next several studies, we're going to look at two reasons why heaven will surely be worth it all. We'll first of all deal with kind of the negative perspective. Heaven will surely be worth it all because of what? Because of who will not be there. We'll look at several things that will not be in heaven, and that will make heaven heaven. Then after that, we'll look at the positive. Heaven will surely be worth it all because of who or what will be there. So, I hope your interest is stimulated. Heaven is your future home if you're saved. If you're not saved, there's a place called hell. There are only two eternal destinations, only two eternal residences, if you will, where people will reside, where people will be in full existence. No, the people that go to hell don't burn up in a matter of seconds or minutes and are gone, but they'll just burn and burn and burn and burn for eternity. Or you can go to heaven and walk on streets of gold and walk through pearly gates and live in a mansion. Dr. Jerry Vines, one of my icons, used to pastor the great First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, still alive in his 80s and preaching, as far as I know, wide open. Used to say this, "You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell, but you won't stay here forever. You're going to one of two places." Heads bowed, eyes closed, and get ready to go into invitation, from invitation into the Lord's Supper. Let me just ask you a relevant question today, a timely question, a personal question. Are you sure today you're going to heaven? How does one go to heaven? The Bible clearly says only those names found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven. And we'll look at that in this study. But today, are you sure? Absolutely 100% sure you can remember the day, the time when you accepted Christ to be your Lord and Savior. A, you acknowledge you were a sinner. B, you believe what the Bible said, Jesus died for you. And C, you confessed him with your mouth, believed in your heart, God hath raised him from the dead. That's the key. That's the key to it all.